This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. Today on the show, we are letting loose with the Queen of Thunder, Lucy LaDuca. We chat about her time on Drag Race, horror movies, her favorite thrift shop finds. But first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful.
Oh, are you intellectual like me?
Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times?
Like me?
Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak very breathy, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who never orders easy ice in her drink at a restaurant because that's simply an amateur move. But first, let's get into some things that are very Delta. You know who has me fucked up this week? Self-checkout. We have spent the past few years being trained that self-checkout is the new way. They've kept a few registers at a lot of locations, like at Walmart, Target, some of the grocery stores. Even Dollar Tree has done self-checkout. But I knew something was weird about it. You know, if you go to a place like Walmart, they've always had that thing where when you walk out, they have someone there to check your receipt and they put the fluorescent line through it. I've never felt like anyone was really doing anything. I think it's really just having someone in position to make you think like, hey, they're going to be looking at your receipt. They never do. Until we started doing self-checkout, I feel like there were people at Walmart that were doing this thing where they would find someone in the line and they would say, we're going to stop that person for whatever reason, random checks. And they would say, we're going to scan three of your items to see if they appear on the receipt. And so I felt like, well, at least they're doing something, like instead of just the fluorescent line. And then we started to see a lot of memes where people were like, oh, I went to go get my groceries and it was $356. So I decided to get a second opinion and I went to self-checkout and it was only $40. So what I realized is that maybe people are stealing from the self-checkout, but how is that possible? Because if they have these people in line and have always had these people at the end of the line who are there writing a line through your receipt to go, oh, we just wanted to check to make sure. How are people leaving with any products, deodorant, televisions, baby formula, whatever it is? How are they leaving with that if there are people at the end of the line as soon as you leave making sure that you're not doing that? Are they just not doing their job or... are they not looking? Are we not really allowed? I mean, listen, I don't blame people for not confronting people physically in a store. Why would you do that? Like, why would you put your life on the line because someone wanted to steal something from Walmart? I say let them take it. If I worked there, I would not put my life on the line for it. However, I have to always go back to this thing. The people that are enforcing the rules at Walmart or at a restaurant or at Target or at any of these places, and I'm talking about cashiers, security guards, managers, these are not the people that you have the problem with. These are not the people that you get loud with. These are not the people that you get crazy with. They are just enforcing policy. You have to get crazy with the people that create the policy. So by getting bent on all of these people that work there, you really look like a dick because they're just trying to do their job. And that's why I say, if somebody steals something in self-checkout or wherever they steal it, I guess let them take it. You see all these smash and grab things. Why would people put their life on the line? The company will get rid of you in a second. So, I mean, I totally do get this idea of doing exactly what your job description says, and that's it. But the thing with the self-checkout that drives me crazy is I noticed that Target started doing this thing, and then there was like a rumor floating around online, you know, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, and then some news articles saying that they were shutting lanes strategically at a certain time and funneling all of that back to an actual cashier. Well, some people are coming in with one thing. Some people don't like interacting with people because they have anxiety. Some people, I don't know, they just have been trained to believe we do self-checkout now. So then when Target started doing that, and then I noticed Walmart doing it, closing all of their self-checkout lanes, it just seemed very strange because I thought, is this another thing that you didn't storyboard or brainstorm or troubleshoot from the beginning? You just threw it out there and was like, people will catch on to this. There's not going to be any problems. It's going to be easy. Like, I feel like that's what happened. And now they realize, oh, shit, we don't have anything in position to make sure they're not stealing. Some of the rumors are that they're going to start charging a $13 a month fee at Walmart to be able to use that self-checkout. I was there recently and I was like, oh, I guess they're going to have all the self-checkout closed again. And I could see some lights on, right? And I was like, oh, maybe they're going to open a few. I get it. Maybe they have to have a certain amount of drawers, or I don't know all the information. So I go over and the guy goes, oh, no, this is only for speed pass something or another. So I'm thinking, is this for those people that push those carts around and do like the personal shopping? Maybe that's what it's for. But it's not, because those people have their whole area like over to the back. So who are these people? There's like already a speed pass something in place. I don't know. I like the self-checkout. I really do. Because I like my shit. I like to bag my stuff a certain way. You know what I mean? I run my cart and my bags like the fucking Navy. Like, I want it to be like, these are the boxed items. These are the canned soup. I don't want more than 7 cans in this bag because it's too heavy. I like it a certain way. Because, you know, I never get it when you go to a regular self-checkout. And then they're like, they'll put the stuff out, right? And then whatever they did, because they just bag whatever, they're like this. And then there's like this item and this item, and then like Visine or something. And they're like, you don't need a bag for that stuff, do you? Well, I just saw you put a car battery on top of Wonder Bread. Like, you could have like left the car battery with the handle on its own. That didn't need a bag. But I would bet these two things could sit in a bag together with a Visine. Like, I just don't know, again, but I can't be mad at them because nobody trained them. And Dollar Tree, maybe they tried it at a couple of the Dollar Trees near me. And then, I mean, you know, God bless Dollar Tree. We know they're closing a bunch of stores and they're not making the money or whatever, even though they went up to $1.25. I always hated it when people are like, it's not even a dollar anymore. It's $1.25. I'm going to lose my mind. Well, where are you going to find something for $1.25? Go to Target and go find that item for $1.25 then. Well, no, but my God. Let's talk about the real problems. The real problem is, you want me to pay $13 a month to check myself out and then pay for the bags to bag up my own shit. I'm so lost. I don't know how to feel. This message goes out to the CEO of Walmart and everyone else who falls in line. Keep the self-checkout. But I think you need to put tighter reins on those people that put the fluorescent line through the receipt. Maybe we have to scan the receipt. Maybe there's some sort of technology to scan the cart as you're going out. I know you say that you are experiencing a lot of shrinkage, and I totally get that. But when you have the ability to scan these items, and you do, when you have actual physical people watching, and you do, and when you have these machines that have facial recognition, there's no reason why all of those things are not working in unison. We need to have the self-checkout as an option, but we also need to have the same amount of actual cashiers until we figure out which one is the most successful. I don't think you've been doing it long enough to figure out which one is the most successful. You need to be harder at work with this because we want both options. You've trained us to self-checkout. This $13 though, Walmart, how are you going to charge us to work for you? Do you want to see me take a break? Because I think you want to see me take a break. Eating better is easy to do with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. These never-frozen meals are chef-crafted, and you can really taste the difference. Every week, I have over 35 options to choose from. They have anything you're looking for, whether you're looking for something keto-friendly, calorie-smart, or even flexitarian. Each meal has no prep, no mess, and it's the perfect solution for fast, premium options with no cooking required. This week, I ordered jalapeno lime cheddar chicken and spicy cilantro cauliflower rice. And let me tell you, it was the perfect balance between spicy and savory. I can't believe that something so delicious only took me 2 minutes to heat up. Factor's really changed my meal game, and I can't say enough great things about this company. Head to factormeals.com/verydelta50 and use code verydelta50 to get 50% off. That's code VERYDELTA50 at factormeals.com/VERYDELTA50 to get 50% off. My guest today is no stranger to letting loose. She's the queen of thunder. She can fix any appliance in your home. It's Lucy LaDuca.
Hi, Ms. Delta. How are you?
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I cannot believe that I'm here.
I am so grateful you're here because, you know, we get a lot of people that will say, when is so-and-so going to be on the show?
Yeah.
And I think what, and of course, a million people ask for you, what they don't realize is that I think a lot of people think all the queens live in one big house.
Right. We're always just readily available.
Right.
I'm on your speed dial.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you really had to, and I thank you for this, configuring your schedule because you were all the way on the East Coast.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm coming there for a few things and I'm going to make this a priority. And I know, I mean, people that don't know this, it's early in the morning and you are done up. I mean, skirt up to there.
Oh, up to there.
I mean, this whole thing.
This whole thing.
Tell me about these legs.
Well, these legs, I got them in 1997.
Okay.
The year I was born. these legs, they've gotten me pretty far in life.
They have.
And what's funny is I didn't really feature them. Like, even when I did the show,
mm-hmm.
I never featured them because my drag was always sort of very different than my, like, boy clothes,
sure,
and everything. So I've always had lots of tattoos, but I just never showed them off. And for some reason, after the show, I was just like, you know what? This is like very much my full-time job now. I can commit to the shaved,
yeah,
legs. And, you know, if the boys don't like them, well, they're not for me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And the fans are loving the legs.
Now, do you shave them, nair them, wax them, sugar scrub? Like, what do you
do? So I'm afraid to nair,
okay,
because I've gone deep on Reddit trying to find out if you can use nair on tattoos.
Oh, like I never even thought about that. Yeah.
And it's 50-50 split. And I'm like, I'm not taking the chance.
No.
Because the funny thing about tattoos is that some people, like much older people or people from, you know, more traditional families and things, will think that tattoos means that you're sort of trashy or
oh, they have
lower
a
class.
Yeah.
Mama, I've got like 12 cars worth of ink on my body. You know, they cost,
right,
a lot of money.
Yeah, they're art. I mean, they are beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Do they, I mean, I've always believed that tattoos on someone's body sort of tells a story of where they were at that time. I don't know if that's for everyone. Is that true for you?
You know, I don't have any that mean anything to me.
Okay.
A lot of people ask me that. They're like, so what's the story behind all these? And honestly, there is no. I have one little one right here. I have this tiny little,
okay,
skull and crossbone on my finger. And that's for my dog, Rocco.
Okay.
Because everything that I buy for him has a skull and crossbones on it. And so,
okay,
that's just my little thing for him. This is my stuffed version of Rocco that,
aww,
I travel with, which makes me sound like a psychopath. But it just makes me,
hey,
feel at home, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
other than that, though, none of them really technically mean anything.
Okay.
But what they mean to me is that, God, this sounds so dramatic, but I've had a really hard time in my life loving my body.
Okay.
And every single time I get a tattoo, I feel more like myself.
Okay.
And it, like, helps me to love certain parts of me more. I used to not like my legs. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting tattoos put on them. And I was like, oh, my God, my legs are really nice and really sexy. And I've always hated my stomach. And so I got a huge tattoo on my stomach. And I'm like, yeah, I want to show this off.
Yeah.
And I just think it's such an incredible art form that you can just walk around with art on your body all the time. It's really cool.
Do you go to the same artist, different artists?
I go to two different artists. One is named Shannon, one is named Uriah. Shout out Hand of Fate Tattoo in Meriden, Connecticut. They actually used to work at different shops, and they met via me, and now they're a couple. And now they tattoo in the same shop, which is really convenient for me because I could just go to one spot now and just get anything slapped on. And they're amazing. They're good people, too.
I love that. I love that. What do you think took the longest of your tattoos, like the session?
The one on my stomach. It was 2 4-hour sessions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But most of them I actually can get done in one session because I have a crazy high tolerance for pain, which is really good for drag. You know?
Oh my gosh, absolutely, absolutely. Do you have any drag race related tattoos?
No.
Or drag related, like a lipstick or a...
Nothing like that.
Really?
No.
Would you ever?
No.
Okay.
Not that I don't want to remember my time on Drag Race and not that drag isn't important to me, but I don't want anything to sort of signify one time period in my life.
I see.
I want things that are just going to last forever, that I'm going to like forever, that I'm going to think are cool forever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not getting like a big 15 slapped on my forehead or anything like that.
Yeah. What about, do you have one on your tailbone?
I don't have any on my tailbone.
No.
Not yet.
What about like a big Joan Rivers face?
Well, then I really wouldn't be allowed to be around children because that would just be too scary.
Right. It would be a little scary. Do people ask you just out of nowhere to do Joan Rivers?
All the time.
I bet. Yeah. I bet.
And I always go, oh God. Oh, please. I've been dead for 10 years. I'm done. Just let me lay in the ground.
So good. It really, Snatch Game really does separate people who really know, and especially that long going into it. Did you have other characters that you were going to do if you couldn't do Joan?
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty fit to be tied on doing Joan. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, if anybody else wanted to do it, I was going to kind of fight him on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had some backups. I had Ellen DeGeneres was one of my backups.
That would be great.
I wasn't allowed to do Elvira because she's a, you know, a licensed character.
Sure.
So couldn't do her. There's a couple other ones that I wanted to do. I got a lot of flack for this online for saying this, but one of my character ideas was JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay.
Because I just thought it would be funny. Like, I think it's, I don't know. But they were like, yeah, you can't be a dead six-year-old. I'm so sorry.
Damn.
Like, fine, nerd.
It's so interesting because I can remember back, you know, so long ago, season 3, everything seemed like new territory. So it was like, oh, just bring like a funny outfit that looks like a celebrity and just go up and be like, whatever. But when you have like so many seasons to look back on and you can go, I've already seen all these mistakes already made before I get here. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Yeah. And so that's why I feel like the Snatch Game really does separate people who fully grasp that aspect of drag, which is impersonation. It's important.
It is important. And I'm so sad to see it kind of dying out. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I first started, this is my 14th year doing drag.
Oh, wow.
When I first started, and I'm sure that you got this too, when you started 6 years ago.
Right.
That everyone would always, especially straight people, would say, well, who do you do?
Sure.
Always. And they didn't even understand that it was like, oh, my name is Lucy LaDuca, that's my own, you know, persona, whatever. It was just, who do you do? So when I first started, I did, you know, I did Liza when I first started.
Sure.
You know, I did do musical theater back in the day. Don't hold it against me. it's a little bit of a dying art. And you kind of see that people are not super wonderful at the celebrity impersonations anymore.
And, you know, I feel like there's a world where there's celebrity impersonation. Mm-hmm. And then there's also tribute where someone's like, I don't really look like them, but I'm going to have their trappings and do it really well. And then there's celebrity assassination where you're like, I'm going to take this to the next level and put my celebrity in these other situations.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there's a world where all of it is equal if it's done well.
I think that there's ways to do all of those things.
I think
you really don't have to look like the person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Especially if you're Snatch Game.
Yeah.
But you did.
Oh, thank you.
But you did.
I think people forget you got to be funny.
Right.
You know, and I know that that's easier said than done. But like, especially when Rue's there, she's just, she wants to laugh.
Right.
That is one thing that I do know about her. She wants to laugh. She wants you to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought, let me just make her laugh as much as possible. I kind of blacked out, you know, because
yeah.
I had done my research. I've watched hundreds of hours of Joan content, because if right. you go on YouTube, I mean, she made people laugh for 50 years.
Right.
There's lots of content. So I just sort of like let her take over and just whatever came out of my mouth came out.
Yeah. Now, is there a world where you would be, because you have the experience, to maybe be a Bob the Builder character? Could you use your experience as a construction worker?
Yeah, I mean, I could be like a Roberta the Builder,
yep.
maybe, or something like that.
Yep.
Or I don't know. I would have to find some way to make it sort of glamorous. Although I have done sexy construction worker before.
Uh-huh.
I did a construction worker look for my my reunion outfit.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I like to pay homage to my past as a construction worker.
Yeah. And how long did you do that?
Same amount of time I've done drag.
Wow.
Yeah, I started the same year in wow. 2010. And what's funny is they melded together pretty well.
Okay.
Use a lot of duct tape in both
sure.
areas. You know what
sure.
I mean? And I honestly, I used to construct everything that I wore before mm-hmm. the show. And I would open my toolbox many times to construct something or to put something together. I mean, it's similar to drag because you need like 50 different skills. Put
sure.
them all together, make a product. So it worked well for me.
Do you find that all of the things that you've done in construction, like when something happens at home or someone you know, do people come to you with questions or do you spot things where you're like, oh, I could fix that really easy?
All the time.
Really?
All the time,
I would
yeah.
think so.
I was, in December, I did this really amazing Christmas show at $3 Bill. And we were in a dance studio. I was the only drag queen, you know, in this part of the show. Got all these beefy male dancers and everything. And we're in the dance studio and someone says, hey, guys, we can't use the bathroom, okay? The toilet's broken. And I was like, give
go.
Me a minute. And I fixed
love
it.
This.
You know, it's good to know how to fix yeah. stuff in your house. And it's really not hard. You can YouTube anything.
Yeah.
Just as many drag tutorial videos as there are. I mean, I've fixed my washing machine, my dryer, my dishwasher, and if you don't know how to do something, just Google it and you might learn a new skill.
Have you been tapped by like Home Depot or
no.
Ace Hardware?
Can
or
you believe?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, and I feel like because you have the personality, I think that there are plenty of straight people that would be attracted to this fun personality that really is knowledgeable about something
right.
and also looks great. Why would that not work?
yeah,
why
I,
are
I
you
mean,
not
if
listening?
You guys are listening out there, you know, Home Depot, which is the problematic one? Is Home Depot the problematic one and Lowe's is the good one?
Oh, I don't know. I just think we'll just take their money at this point. The planet's going to blow up any day.
oh, that's true.
Take what you can.
Whoever's got the most money to give me, I'll do anything. You know what I mean? Even Trixie Motel, I'll come fix a door or paint something or I'll do
right.
whatever they need to do. And also, Leduca Shoes.
Oh, come on. Yes.
The fact that I have not gotten an email yet, mama.
Right.
I don't know what to say.
Right.
I don't know what to say.
Right.
So call me, tag me. I'll take your money.
call her, please.
Thank you.
Let's take a break. We are back with Lucy Leduca. We're talking about taking over the world. You are going to be the spokesperson for a hardware company,
yes.
a tool company, Makita, yes. something, yes. somebody. I say it too. I mean, like, Leduca Shoes should have reached out to you.
Yes.
All these companies. I remember when, like, I won an Emmy for hairstyling. You know, I thought, I'm going to get something. Mm-hmm. I never even got a free can of hairspray from anybody.
Really?
Nothing. Not one thing. Not one
got
considerate.
Got to be did not.
Nothing. Not got to be. Not fucking White Rain hairspray from 99
Rave?
Cent store.
What about Rave?
Rave.
Mama.
Come on.
Y'all are
nothing.
Slacking over
I
there
know.
In the hair department.
And I went to DragCon and I'm like, look at all these people getting sponsored.
Jesus.
Whatever. Anyway.
We'll find something.
It's going to happen. But before we take over the world, how do you let loose? How does Lucy
let
loose?
How do I let loose?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's a really good question. I mean, I do love to go out. Okay. And I do love to drink, but not in excess.
Okay.
You know, I like a Jameson and ginger ale.
Okay.
That's my go-to drink. It used to be beer. I love beer, but I haven't done gluten in like 5 months.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily allergic to it. I'm just kind of trying it out, and I've lost a ton of weight. Mm-hmm. So something's working.
Yeah.
And I love to, you know, just go out and dance and let loose and do all that fun stuff.
You love that. What kind of music do you like?
Ooh, so right now I'm really into like 90s Riot Girl type okay. stuff. So like Garbage and Bikini Kill and that type of stuff. La Tigra.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into that. And then I'm also super into Psychobilly.
Okay.
So like the Cramps would be the most sort of mainstream.
Sure, sure.
Band there, and I'm finding a lot of inspiration with them because I'm actually recording some music right now.
Okay.
I'm gonna come out with an EP this hopefully this summer, and I just wanted to kind of make music that I want to listen to,
right?
Not necessarily like, oh, let me do 6 bitch tracks,
right?
Nothing wrong with that,
right?
But that's not me, you know what I mean? So I'm doing some really cool funky stuff, and I'm really excited about it.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, because I do feel like people have a lot of music that they like, but they think these are what the enthusiasts of drag are going to want to hear.
For sure, yeah.
And it's like, well, that's good. You could serve them some of that if you want to do
yeah.
that. But if your heart's not in it, I think people can kind of tell.
Yeah, definitely. You know? I think especially like because Let Loose was such a moment and it was so viral and people still really love it and it's awesome. People yell it at me all the time and I will never get tired of it.
It's a fun song and it's not the archetype of the other songs that you would imagine
from Drag Race. Yeah, it's really not. It's more pop focused. I think that's why it is a little bit more like loved by people outside of the realm
of
Drag Race.
Yeah, celebratory.
And I know that whatever I do, according to the fans, will never measure up to Let Loose. So I figured I will just do what I want. I don't care if a single person buys my album, honestly. As long as I like it,
right.
I will be really happy. And right. I want you to like it, too.
I mean, I want to like it. People want to like it. Everyone wants to like it. What what puts you in the mood to go thrifting? Because I know you like thrifting.
Oh, my God. I went thrifting yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
Do you get to go thrifting at all the cities that you go to? I'm sure you try.
If I have time.
I know you try.
I try my best to go thrifting. Because there's always just the coolest little vintage store. I've got so much thrift stuff that I got from a little store in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
Like, in these, like, little places, you find such gems.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a decent buck yesterday.
Did you?
Thrifting in LA. Yeah.
What'd you find?
I found a lot of really cool vintage t-shirts. I uh-huh. found this awesome pair of vintage pants. I found a Tales from the Crypt sweatshirt.
Oh, cute.
That I was like gagging over. I was like, I don't even care how much it is, you know, throw uh-huh. it in. So like recently I just got a new apartment and it's taking me a long time to really fill it because I love interesting things. I don't want to just go online and like order a bunch of stuff that sure. matches. So I'm really taking my time to like go to just weird places. And I just find that when you go to weird places, you meet the most interesting people.
For sure.
So if you go to like a vintage market or something, you're going to get some stories
right.
from people. And right. I'm just trying to take advantage of the time that I have where I'm traveling the world and being able to just meet people, find interesting things.
I love that. I found some really good vintage stuff in Salt Lake.
Really?
Yeah, there's some really good shops there. I personally like to collect vintage clutches, but I like them at minimum of 20 inches. So
Uh-oh.
They're hard to find, you know.
Oh,
yeah, I'm not
okay.
a size queen or anything,
no,
but but you know, I like a proportion.
Right, of course, yeah.
But yeah, so if I can find them, I mean, I'll go a little bit smaller, but for me, like a tiny purse, I just look
yeah.
crazy. People are like, is she carrying like a container of fries? Like,
yeah.
what is that? I need like a clutch,
yeah.
you know
well,
what I mean?
Well, the ones where like if somebody tries to mug you, you could just
right.
hit them.
Right,
because the clasp was made of real brass because it was
right.
made in the 30s or whatever.
Yeah, so I love those. I love head vases, which are like what women used to like stash money in their
oh.
homes. And so they would go on your wall. You could put flowers, but the idea was that you would hide like jewelry or stuff in them.
Oh, okay.
And it would just be like a lady's face.
I love that.
Yeah, they're cute. I have friends that get those.
You know what's really awesome? I have just like the fucking coolest fans ever. And I'm so incredibly lucky to have them. And since a lot of people know that I love interesting vintage things, people will send me stuff.
Oh, I
love
that.
They find that they just think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got this absolutely incredible, I think it's from 1982, a sleeveless Elvira shirt. Oh, it's incredible.
It's got to be gorgeous.
It's just the coolest thing I've ever owned, I think.
It's got to be gorgeous.
I wore it when I met her last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, this, you know, this is from the 80s. And she went, looks like it.
Oh, my God. That's the best.
I just loved it. I felt like I was in the movie. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. She's the best.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And you have tattoos of horror film or character.
I have her. Where is she? Right there.
There she is.
Can you see it? Can you see it?
They can see it.
There she is. She's big boobies gorgeous. And everything. Yeah. Ooh.
I wish you could have done her on Snatch Game as well.
Yeah, you know, I understand why they didn't have me do it. And I do have an Elvira illusion that I do.
Right.
Because she's just, anybody with really big boobs, I want to do.
Yeah.
I want, you know, I'm working on my Delta right now.
Oh, I love that. Well, you do Dolly, of course.
I do Dolly, of course. Yeah, she's my other idol. There's the sort of yin and yang. I've got Elvira and Dolly. And they actually kind of very much live in the same world.
Definitely. I love that. I love that over the top. Still like the 80s. I don't know. I mean, you're too young to remember, but you could look up Rhonda Shear. She used to have a show called Up All Night with Rhonda Shear.
Oh, and
she
was just... All Night.
Yes, of course.
I love
you get the references.
Girl,
you're a baby, so... but you get the references. Yeah. That's what I love about you. You really do. And
thank
that,
you.
Like, it's really cool because you really are that passionate about the stuff. You know what I mean? We were just talking about Sugar and Spice, who you ran into the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them getting so much flack when they were first coming on the scene. And I just thought, like, why? They really have so many reference points.
They really do.
They're total pros.
They're so, so intelligent, let
they
me tell you.
They are. And they're in their head,
which
we were talking about. We're always in our head, and people are like, oh, you guys are so in your head. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're too out of your head.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that drag should be a very cerebral thing. I think you should think about what you're doing. God forbid, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about the details. Think about a reference point that you have so that you can build a look.
Yeah.
So the shoe makes sense with the nail, makes sense with the accessories. So, like, at least you have one thing to point to when you're trying to make, like, stylistic choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know what? If somebody gets the reference, amazing. If they don't, they'll see a complete look.
Yeah.
And those girls really get that.
Yeah.
I adore them. They're good, good people.
They really are.
I think that people get a little gatekeepy with drag. And I think they saw these two girls who are, like, TikTok famous and were like, you know, they haven't paid their dues. Well, they get all the references.
Right.
They get a lot of references that a lot of drag queens don't get.
Sure.
And I think that's really important because drag, for me, has always been about pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So if you don't understand the references, I'm not saying that everyone has to know every single thing from every single decade. That's asking a lot. But you should know a little bit.
Well, and I have to check myself sometimes because I think, like, I'll hear somebody say, oh, I don't know that musical artist. And I'm thinking, I was raised with that musical artist. But then I think, what music do I know from their generation?
Yeah,
let me name a
few.
And I'm like, I don't. So why do I hold them responsible if I'm not being held responsible to know updated things? You know what I mean?
Well, what it should be is it should be a give and take.
Yeah.
So if someone doesn't know Bonnie Tyler,
right?
You say, sit down right there and let me show you a thing or two.
Right.
You know, I think that that's really important.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you kind of, I'm looking at you right now and I'm getting Bonnie Tyler as well.
I didn't make that reference on purpose.
Right, exactly. No, and that's the thing. Like, we were talking off camera about when people, you know, would used to say, well, who do you do? Who do you do?
Yeah.
And I am who I am. But then, you know, I do all these other impersonations or assassinations or whatever it is. I feel like there is a fully realized character, but you are also still that person.
Yeah.
In a way, right?
I think it's a version of you, but it also depends on who you are.
Yeah.
There's some drag performers that are completely different in and out of drag.
Right.
Personality-wise and everything.
Right.
I don't really change. My posture gets a little better.
That's what I say. I get carte blanche to say a little more or get away with saying more.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like I have the same opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that too. And I think I've always been the same person in and out of drag, but it wasn't until recently, I think post-show, really, that I started letting my drag aesthetic really mesh with my out-of-drag aesthetic. Because I used to go, oh, you know, I wouldn't wear that, but Lucy would.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now I've just kind of said, like, fuck that. I want to look like myself and I want to look cool all the time. And I think I was limiting myself with that. You know what I mean? I think I had a realization that Tim, that's my real name. Tim, I think, at certain points was a little bit more interesting and unique than Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, okay, well, I might as well just meld the two together.
Right.
And really show people who I am.
Right. I think that makes a lot of sense. Do you have a favorite horror film or horror character?
Yeah, it's Friday the 13th.
It is.
I am, like, I always say it's the only thing I'm kind of a nerd about is the entire Friday the 13th franchise. I've got Jason as well tattooed right there on my leg.
Sure do.
There's just something so deliciously camp about Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, so, so 80s. From the fashion to the music, the hair alone.
Right.
You must be obsessed with the hair in 80s movies.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
It just encapsulates all of that. And
I love it.
Jason is this, like, just this character who's gone through so many different transformations. And you see the hockey mask everywhere.
Right.
When I see a hockey mask, I don't think of a fucking puck.
At all.
I think most people think of Jason. He's just this incredible character. And I also love that in the first movie, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the first Friday the 13th film, the killer is his mom. It's a woman. Not only is it a woman, it's an old woman. And that was really not a thing in all these 80s slashers. And I love how unique that is. It started with this scorned, angry woman.
Right.
And I mean, I would say most drag performers really love just a strong female character.
Of course.
So that's definitely, I mean, my favorite, but I love every 80s slasher.
Yeah.
Even if they're god awful.
See, I agree because I'm a huge Halloween franchise person.
Oh, yeah.
So I love Laurie and I think it's interesting when people are like, well, this one wasn't that good. And I'm like, you know what? I hold the space for every movie, every single one of them. I love them. And with their flaws, with the fact that every script might be exactly the same, with the fact that he's going to come back every single time.
He comes back?
Or in some, right? He does? I love it. I love it. And I think that's, you know, our producer here, Doug, works every year at an event called Not Scary Farm.
Oh, that's where Elvira used to do her show, right? Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Doug. And oh my God. My number is 906.
Right.
I'll give you the rest later.
I go every year and I must have gone every year that he worked and never knew him as his characters.
It's kind of scary.
What I mean? It is scary, but it's so fierce. I love stuff like, I mean, I love Halloween in general, not just the franchise, the season.
So I live in New England. I've always lived in New England.
Right.
Halloween is another beast out there.
I bet.
Funny because I'll meet people from the West Coast and they'll say, is it really like Hocus Pocus over there? And honestly, yes, it is.
I love
You know,
that.
The crunchy leaves and I always go to a pumpkin patch every year, always carve a pumpkin. There's like apple picking and Halloween is really what I think made me love horror. It introduced me to horror. And I've always loved it. All my favorite toys when I was a kid were like, there was this great toy in the 90s called Creepy Crawlers.
Uh-huh.
I love it. Creepy Crawlers. It was so cool. And you would like melt down this, I don't know, wax stuff and it would make these nasty bugs.
Right.
And there was this other toy that I loved. It was called Little Frank.
Okay.
And it was this plastic Frankenstein and his chest would open and there was gears and a heart and his head would pop open. And I posted about him on Instagram. I found like a nostalgia page, reposted on Instagram. A fan went to their parents' house, dug through the basement, found it, and sent it to me.
Oh, I love that.
I almost cried when I opened it because it looked exactly like it did when I was a kid. And it was my favorite toy. Me and my brother would play with it for hours.
I love
later
that.
Did a look inspired by this toy.
Uh-huh.
And here I had this perfect condition little Frank that a fan was kind enough to send me.
That is so sweet.
It's the fucking coolest.
I love that.
Like that just warms my heart.
Could you see yourself in a Lucy Halloween or horror movie?
Oh, babe, that's the goal.
Yeah.
I want to do that so bad. I would love to do something similar to our Queen Elvira. I would love to host a show or something like that that really like celebrates horror. Specifically, I would love to get some more queer actors and producers and comedians and makeup artists to work on some horror stuff, because the queer community and the horror community have a huge intersection.
Absolutely.
Huge, because it's this like sense of otherness. And there is a queer horror community that is gigantic and thriving, and they in particular have been so lovely to me. And so I would love to do a project that is really for them, you know, give them something like a Tales from the Crypt or a Creep Show.
Yes.
Or, you know, Tales from the Crypt, which talk about camp.
Right, right.
My God, the Crypt Keeper.
Right.
She's on season 17.
And she's shady, just shady. The same with, so I always thought with Freddie. I always thought Freddie was just cunty.
Oh.
I was like, I'm not scared.
Freddie is
just
a
reading.
Like hateful faggot.
Completely. Completely.
Yeah. I recently revisited the remake. And I thought, I'm going to watch it with a pair of fresh eyes. Let me see, because people hate it. And I watched it, and let me tell you, it was a piece of trash. It was so, so bad.
Right.
And it wasn't even bad enough that it was good.
It was just awful.
It was just awful. Because if a movie is god-awful,
right,
sometimes it's great.
Right. You almost want to be like, I think they intended this.
Yeah.
So you give them that freedom.
There's this one film, I'll call it a film, make it fancy. It's called Killer Workout.
Okay.
The budget had to be 25 cents. And it also goes by Aerobicide.
Oh, I love it.
It is 60% of it is just footage of women doing aerobics.
Okay.
And it's all on their tits.
Uh-huh.
And the killer is out for revenge because she was burned in a tanning bed.
Oh, and this is perfect. You'll remake this. You'll remake this.
Can you imagine Killer yes. Workout with Lucy Liduca?
Yes.
Wait, let's make this happen.
It's going to happen.
Doug? Are you looking to produce something else? A film? Perhaps?
Let's take a break. We are back with Lucy Liduca. We're talking about all of it. Horror films. Speaking of horror, this is the part of the show that we call Read Me Delta.
Okay.
And sometimes the people that write in are horrors.
Okay.
And sometimes they're whores.
Okay.
So it can be either one. If you would like to send in a letter with a question, or maybe you have a quandary, you can send them to readmedelta@gmail.com. Anything goes except for your nasty attitude. So come correct or don't come at all. Okay. Hello, buxom beauty and distinguished guest. I enjoy my big boobsicles, but that means a button shirt is not for me. If I find a button shirt to fit my chest, it's too big around my waist. If it fits my waist, it will pop the buttons off and possibly blind someone from the forceful button trajectory if I dare wear it normally. Even those little inside and underneath buttons don't help if the proportions are off. The only way button shirts will work for me is if I button the bottom 3 to 4 buttons and leave the top open, or wear it totally unbuttoned. Either way, I have to wear a layer of a shirt or camisole underneath. Are there any buttons in the world that are very Delta? Will my button shirt fantasy dream ever come true? Very Cora DuRoy. Button shirts. Yes, I get this, because when I have to go somewhere out of drag and it's like dressier or a little more formal, I have found that I have a huge problem because I carry a lot of weight on what is really a very normal sized frame. So I don't have broad shoulders.
Uh-huh.
If I get something that's going to fit the mid area, which is significantly bigger than here, then I have to get them lined up. There's a company that you can go to for about $100, which really sounds like a lot, but it's not much. We'll custom do a shirt for you. So they will lay it out for you any size. So, you know, there's 5 chins, but there's really only 1 neck. So, you know what I mean? So I need it to be a certain way. So you really have to get things tailored. I would say if you're having that problem and it really is important to you, maybe invest in just a couple of nice shirts and take them into a tailor. They'll do that. I think a lot of tailors inside dry cleaners will do that.
I have trouble with button-up shirts when I'm out of drag, too. Like if I'm for a formal event or whatever, they never fit me right. They're always,
really?
I'm short. A lot of people don't. people are shocked at how short I am when they see me.
How tall are you?
In person, I'm 5'6".
Stop it.
Yes, I am, mama.
You fucking liar.
I swear, I am 5'6". I wear big hair and big shoes. But dress shirts on me are always way too long. Uh-huh. And they're way too long on my arms. And they never really fit right. And I feel like I uh-huh. always do look kind of sloppy when I'm in like a suit or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so don't invite me to your wedding.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, or can I wear a t-shirt?
Yeah.
I look great in a t-shirt. You know?
Yeah.
Give me a t-shirt and a leather jacket. I'll wear that to your wedding.
And you're perfect.
Yeah.
And you're perfect.
A button-up shirt? You know, fuck off.
Now that I think about that, you know, it really is important, I think, whether you're doing drag or you're wearing these button-ups for professional, for work, or whatever it is, knowing what works on you and just always yeah. going with that. And maybe you change up the colors or whatever it is. Or if you have a thing, some people are like, their thing is leopard. I love leopard. I know you love leopard.
God, I love leopard. It's,
some people go, what's your favorite color? Leopard.
Leopard. I said the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's my favorite color. But, you know, I find for myself, as much as I love a long sleeve, I find in a gown, if I'm wearing a long sleeve, if I just have that sleeve cut to my wrists, mm-hmm. it sort of brings everything in a little bit to this focal point here and lets everything
sense.
Float away. So as much as you're not going to be able to hide something uh-huh. and maybe you don't want to hide it, but maybe you want to highlight just the best part of where you feel confident, right?
Well, and you have a very dainty little wrist too. You have very
this old thing.
You have very womanly hands.
Thanks.
Do people tell you that?
Sometimes.
And I think the way that you speak with your hands. So I speak in like I speak with my hands a lot too, but it's because I'm Italian and it's very it's not very feminine the way that I
but
use it.
I love East Coast Italian people.
Oh, yeah.
Are my favorite. I just think there's so much passion,
excitement,
point of view. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
You know, an Italian person's in the room because they knock over a glass
yeah.
at dinner. It happens to me all the time. All the yeah. time, actually. Because I'm always really expressive with my hands, even though they're really, I could put as much stuff as possible on these hands, they will not look feminine. Like I
think they look great.
Thank you. I don't remember who told me this. It came through the grapevine. I got a drag tip from you.
Okay.
Through someone else. I don't remember who it was. Someone told me, do you know what Delta Work does? When she's perfuming, she sprays her wrists. So when she reaches for the tip, the audience member smells the perfume.
Yeah.
And I do that every time.
Yeah.
That's a genius drag tip.
I'm so glad.
Genius.
Now, here's the thing. If you have to take it to the next level, you can do it on your palms as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe you don't want to do all that. You don't want to waste your perfume.
I waste it. I spray so much. I want you to smell me around the block.
You smell so good. When you walked in, I could smell you. What is that?
I purposely wore this scent because I knew that you would like it. It's Dolly Parton's Scent from Above.
It's so good.
It's great, right? I always say that it smells like perfume. You know what I mean? It's not the most unique thing in the world, but it smells like how I imagine Dolly Parton smells.
It smells fresh. It smells inviting. Yes. I love that.
It's floral without being too floral, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because I love an orange blossom.
Ooh.
I really love an orange blossom. But it can't, I don't want to smell like there's like a bouquet of flowers.
Right.
In my nose. You know
you don't
what I
want
mean?
To choke.
You know, this morning I did wish that you would choke on it, but I didn't think it would come true.
She wanted me to choke on it.
Mm-hmm.
Still early.
Do you remember a character called Miss Chokes on Dick from South Park? Did you ever watch that?
You know what? I only watched South Park a little bit. Wait, you were born in
1990.
Yeah. Okay. Why did I think you were older. Even younger than that? No, I actually thought you were even younger
it
than that.
It might be the Botox, maybe.
Do you have Botox?
Just a little in the forehead.
Yeah, I
need But that's the only work I've gotten done, though.
Okay.
You don't need it. You look great.
Thanks, but I'd like to do some upkeep, but I'm scared.
Are you afraid of needles?
I'm afraid that I'm going to be the person where they're like, we froze your eye. Sorry. Like everything I'm
well,
afraid
it does,
of.
Well, it does wear off. So yeah. You'd only have a frozen eye for 2 to 4 months.
That's true.
You know?
I don't even have my ears pierced.
Oh my goodness.
I can't do that. I've never had a tattoo. Even my mother has tattoos.
Really? And, wait, what does she have?
She has this flower on her foot, like a hibiscus.
Okay.
And then she decided... My mother's been divorced twice, so she decided that she would get, after her first divorce, a bee on there because she got stung by her husband, and then she got another bee put on. So two bees on a foot. Isn't that funny? God.
It's so, so petty.
Right, it is.
It. Most people are like, what does your tattoo mean to you? It's not normally a revenge tattoo.
Right, exactly.
Oh my God, Mama Delta.
Okay. Dear Delta and esteemed guest, I live in Brooklyn, New York. The gays here have developed a habit of not wearing deodorant. A small touch of natural musk is fine, but one gay at my gym has taken it too far. His body odor is so disgustingly pungent that I can immediately smell him as soon as he's within 20 feet of me. When this happens, I have to stop my workout and move to a completely different part of the gym.
Ooh.
Why would someone choose to go about their day smelling so foul? Why have neither of his roommates, family, nor friends stepped in? How would you approach and solve this problem? Please help me protect my peace and my workout. Sincerely, very Corey. Real quick, he says this gay at his gym. I think he might be closer to this person than he thinks because he said, why have neither of his roommates? How do you know that there's more than one roommate?
Delta, you detective.
You've been sniffing around more than his armpits, I'm
yes,
telling you.
How does this fine. Guy know that there are
mad.
Two roommates?
I'm not mad. Gossip at the gym, you know.
Wow.
That's fine.
You ate that.
Yeah, that's
you
fine.
You ate that.
Right? Yeah, let's go eat. Actually, now that I think about it.
That is why. Wait, so the question is, how does he deal with this issue?
How does he deal with the fact that people stink? Do you go to the gym?
I do. And
do people stink?
There are some funky people. It is a gym.
It is a gym.
I do love to go out in Brooklyn, and I am aware of this trend.
Okay.
With the Brooklyn gays. For me, if it's in a gym, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
You can't complain that someone is sweaty and smelly at the gym.
Right.
When it's on a dance floor, I find it less appealing. A little musk is fine. You know what I mean? It could even be very attractive.
Sure.
But it does seem like Corey knows this person. Mm-hmm. And so if you do know this person, maybe get to know them a little bit better. And then you can get to a place where you say, hey, as a friend,
right,
it's a little much. It's a little pungent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why no one's next to you on the treadmill. You're not just lucky.
Right. I mean, it could be a million things. It could be just maybe they haven't found a deodorant that like works for them.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's something medical. Maybe they have an irritation to it.
Maybe they don't have a sense of smell.
That could be because, you know, I usually spray on so much perfume that I know that it does bother some people. And I know people go, oh God, it's so strong. And because I like such heavy fragrances, I've even had people go, it smells like someone around here is wearing Old Spice. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like my perfume. Your best bet is to follow my advice, which is, this is why I don't go to the gym. I mean, just never go to the gym again. Never focus on your health. Live every day like yesterday was your last, and you'll be fine.
I don't necessarily align with all of Delta's comments on this this subject matter. I do think that you should take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's your podcast. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think this is why we would be good co-hosting something because we are sort of yin and yang, but we hold the space for each other.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I think we get a lot of the same references.
Yeah.
We love a lot of the same things.
Right.
And I think a little bit of difference is a good thing. It goes a long way, you know?
I like it.
I like it too.
I fucking love it.
I love y'all.
I love you.
You know, I actually have a little gift for you.
You do?
It's probably going to be a little sweaty because it's in my boobs.
Okay.
But it's the only place that I could stash it.
That's fine.
Okay. Here we go. It is a little keychain.
What in the world? Oh my goodness. It's Lucy's keychain. I love this. Live, laugh, let loose.
Live, laugh, let loose.
This is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I actually baked cookies.
Oh my goodness. And
yeah,
you packaged
I've been doing
them
this whole life.
Everything.
That's for you there.
Wow.
Tagalongs.
Uh huh.
Do you like crispy cookies layered with peanut butter and covered with a chocolate coating?
Who doesn't?
My daughters are selling these.
Your daughters?
My daughters, yeah.
Really? And what are your daughters' names?
The Girl Scouts of America. They're all
That's
my girls.
A lengthy name.
They're all my girls.
Wow.
Yeah, I love this.
I'm so happy you like
it. I love the font. The font is very, this whole idea is very you.
I'm very specific about things like fonts and my merch I'm very, very particular about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to just look like a AI-generated Lucy LaDuca t-shirt.
Right.
So I've driven some graphic designers kind of crazy going, can you make the eye look like 10% more slanted to the left.
But I like that. I mean, I'm even that way with like contractual things. Like someone will send something and I'm like, the wording leaves this a little bit open. So I need this. And they're like, listen, we're not going to screw you. I'm like, you know what? I've heard that before.
You've heard we're not going to screw you before?
Yeah, well, and then they ended up screwing me.
That's what I thought, maybe.
I know.
Then they smelled that perfume.
So what am
said,
I complaining about?
You.
You know I'll always find something to bitch about, even if I'm happy.
Well, if you stop bitching, this podcast would go under, Mama.
You know what? You could not be.
I'm sorry. I thought of one more thing to tell you.
Tell me. I'm listening to all of it.
Okay. So I know that you're beguiled by a bargain.
I am.
I got the most amazing deal recently.
Tell me.
And I think you're just going to love it.
Tell me.
So I wanted a new mattress for my new apartment. Mm-hmm. And I'm racking my brain. I'm going, okay, do I order one online, the kind that come in a box or whatever? And then I had to accept that I was going to spend some money on it. And then I remembered that a good friend of mine, a drag friend of mine, her name is Ambrosia.
Ambrosia Salad?
It's not Ambrosia Salad.
Okay.
Her dad is a mattress salesman
at
a furniture store. And I was like, I could use this connection.
Yeah.
Mama, I walked away with a $5,000 mattress for $1,200.
See, that is not just a value. That's a bargain.
I mean, I was dressed exactly like this.
Right, right.
And I did what I had to do.
Right.
But yeah, so shout out Gail at Pilgrim Furniture.
Gail at Pilgrim Furniture. I love.
Can you believe?
What kind of sheets do you like?
I'm not picky about a sheet.
You're not.
I gotta be honest. And I hesitate to say this. I don't really change my sheets very often.
Okay.
And I know that that's gross. I know.
Yeah.
Sue me. But the thing is, I despise laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I hate.
Mm-hmm.
I turn into a monster when I'm doing laundry. And so I just try not to do it.
And who can fold a fitted sheet anyway?
Fuck that.
Fuck
Maybe
that.
Martha Stewart.
You know, what you could do is just start throwing away your linens after you use them. That's what Mayhem Miller for years.
Really?
She would cook a meal and then throw all her pots and pans and dishes away because she cooked so rarely. She doesn't do it anymore now that she's a homeowner.
God.
But she used to. And everyone would be like, oh, you got new dishes? And then we caught on to what she
was
doing.
That is insane.
Mayhem Miller is insane.
Mama, that's wild to me. That is wild.
Well, you got a bargain. You got a deal, a value, and a bargain. Mama. And I love it. I'm so proud of that.
Thank you. I knew you'd love it.
You should be proud of it.
Thank you
for being here.
Thank you.
This
for
has been
me.
so fun. I feel like this is not the last time we're going to do something because,
oh, mama,
like it just. I feel like there's so many similarities in viewpoints, but so many completely opposite, like ways to get to that. And I think that's fine. We go on two different rides.
Well, and we're both listeners.
Yeah.
You got to be a listener and you got to.
And we're people watchers. We like to watch people. Don't you love it?
Favorite thing.
I love to see what makes people tick. I love it. Especially. I will walk up to somebody and just ask them, what's your favorite corn chip? I want to know. I could tell you like corn chips, you know?
You know, I almost brought you an opened bag of yellow corn tortilla chips.
I would have eaten them. Well, you know, I mean, I will, if somebody's selling something, if somebody's selling cake pops outside of somewhere, I'll buy them even if I don't want them.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, you know, I like to participate. And I'll try it, of course.
Right.
But I'm just one of those people. If the Girl Scout cookies are being sold, you know what I'll do sometimes? People aren't going to believe this, but I will do it. I'll just leave a donation because I'll say, listen, this body has seen so many boxes, not even so many sleeves of cookies.
Uh-huh.
This body has seen so many boxes of cookies. Yeah. I bet you I could skip it one time and I'd be okay. I bet you I could. So you know what? Here's $10. Do with it what you will and maybe give
that.
Them away or whatever. Thank you so much for listening and watching Very Delta. Our show comes out every Monday. Subscribe to Mom Podcast YouTube channel and turn on your notifications so you never miss an episode. Search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps to listen to the audio-only version if you can't stand all of this beauty from the visual elements. You can also sign up for our premium offerings on Mom Plus Gold by visiting mompodcasts.plus, where you get weekly episodes of more Very Delta. Don't forget to send all of your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at Delta Work. Where can people follow you?
At Lucy LaDuca, LOOSEY.
Everywhere.
Yes, everywhere.
On OnlyFans.
We'll see how my career goes in the next year.
Yeah. You know, you could be Lucy LaDuca, a girl with great shoes and a toolbox.
Ooh.
Right? And then you're actually showing people how to fix things.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
this
and you're like...
This is a show.
It is.
Gotta pick this up. Doug, if you want another project,
come on.
We're working on a home improvement show. It's gonna be great.
We'll see you next week. And until then, keep things very Delta.
Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom. Hosted by Delta Work. Produced and edited by Doug Robertson. Technical direction by Margot Padilla. With original theme music by Will Pitts. Media and design support by Stone Cold. And set design by Eris Sevilla. Executive produced by Alaska, Willem, Big Dipper, Camille Stennis, and Joe Cilio. Recorded at Forever Dog Productions.
Do you like my makeup?
Mom!
To listen to Very Delta ad-free, one day early, and to get access to more Very Delta and all of Mom Podcast's premium content, check out Mom Plus Gold at mompodcast.plus.